Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EP. And if you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Tony DeLima, the global CTO of Neoris Inc., that helps companies use the most advanced technologies to help them anticipate and predict their future. For an example, how do we aggregate data internally and externally derived to help companies make smart decisions about how to manage their supply chain, reduce operational risk, service customers better, be smarter about connecting with employees? And Mr. DeLima, a pleasure to have you with us here on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, it's a pleasure to join you and obviously also to be able to address your audience in extraordinary times.
Yes, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you. Certainly timely to have you on, and I'm looking forward to the information you'll share here today. So for starters, tell us, Mr. DeLima, how are companies using technology to stay ahead or become more proactive during this pandemic?
Well, there's a number of different areas where they're using technology. I would say that the cornerstone to how they leverage technology is really around data. You know, we live in very difficult times, and that's impacting all of us. So data for sure is a critical element of making sure that they can not only continue to survive and thrive past the COVID-19 era, but also during this difficult time, how do they make sure that they can sustain their operations? And on one hand, it's really being able to stay close to their employees. I would say that companies are going through some significant efforts to try to figure out how they can stay aligned with their employees, how they can provide help. And I would say that the leading edge companies, are using the data to be able to predict how the future looks like, to be able to predict how the COVID-19 is impacting their employees, by really pulling together massive amounts of data that's publicly available, but also data that they're able to collect from their own employees about the symptoms that they may be having, where they're physically located, the level of anxiousness, have they been infected, have they traveled, have they been in contact with others that have the pandemic. So most companies that are leading edge are trying to do just that, be able to collect as much data as possible, being able to stay close to their employees, be able to analyze that data and help their employees through this difficult time. They're also using the data to obviously predict where the future is heading. You know, some industries are going through difficult times, like obviously the automotive industry, the aviation, tourism, leisure, but others are thriving. Anyone that's in the food processing and retail, personal healthcare, agriculture, e-commerce, medical supply, are companies that their demand has grown. Demand for their products has grown significantly. So, how do you make sure that you can anticipate and predict where customer demands are going, where are they located, and how to make sure that your supply chain can function during a period of time where you may not have full access to the organization? How do you reorganize yourselves? And obviously, there's other technologies as well, like video conferencing, as I'm sure you know and our audience knows. You know, platforms like Zoom or Cisco have grown significantly in terms of adoption to be able to support a work from home type of business models. But there's a number of different areas where technologies are making a difference at companies today.
Certainly some great points to lead things off here today. Now, how can data make a difference internally or externally? Get into some of those details.
Well, on one end, as I mentioned, it's staying, you know, one critical objective that companies have these days is, you know, how do they stay in touch with their employees, and being able to recognize, get close to them and understand what their behavior patterns are, how the virus is impacting them. Now, if I can aggregate data about my employees' well-being and combine that with data that's externally available, for instance, the Johns Hopkins University research or the World Health Organization and others at the state and local levels. If you combine that data and bring it together, you start to see a number, you're able to start analyzing a number of different patterns that would allow you to then proactively reach out to your employee base and say, okay, how can I help? Because I know you are at risk. I know enough about your behavior pattern to know that we have to do something, and we'd like to help you, and we'd like to reach out. And at the same token, you know, looking towards customers is also being able to say, okay, as my customer base is growing in certain segments and maybe going down in others, how do I rethink what my supply chain needs to look like, or how do I rethink even what my financials need to look like because of, you know, different behaviors in supply and demand? And data is able to be able to provide you that. And it's all about constantly ingesting data from different sources internally. It's how employees behave. For instance, at Neoris, we deployed this platform for our clients. Obviously free of charge during this period of time, but allows companies to be able to aggregate data by giving employees an app where they are able to opt in, and they can on a daily basis check in and provide updates to their symptoms. That information is then aggregated in the cloud. We mesh that information with publicly available data. And we're able to start predicting for the company, you know, when employees are, first of all, are in a danger zone, which employees need help, and also, you know, how is the business being impacted because employees just may not be available to operate in critical areas. And then the most critical question is when can certain segments of the employee community come back to work, when and where, right? So think about it. If you have a number of warehouse and cross-dock facilities located globally, certain regions of the world may be more impacted than others. If I'm able to aggregate data about how the virus is impacting my operations, I can make very critical decisions very fast in terms of how I reroute my supply chain or restructure it to still be able to survive, but also meet the demands of customers.
Now, Mr. DeLima, as we look at machine learning, how can machine learning have an impact? I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
You know, machine learning, you know, it's all about being able to derive knowledge from vast amounts of data and recognize patterns in the data better than humans can, just because the sheer wealth of data and volumes that are able to collect, right? So if machine learning is most used right now to be able to recognize patterns in first of all the company itself, right? So, you know, what percentage of my companies what percentage of my employees have manifested certain symptoms, and as a result of that went from not feeling good to now being infected or showing other signs of having contracted the virus. And machine learning can help us predict that by saying, okay, a percentage of the employee base may live in a critical area, may be more susceptible to the coronavirus risk. And because of that, I need to find a way to kind of reach out to them and help them minimize the risk. In terms of the company itself, it's really how to help the companies flex up or down, depending on how this pandemic is impacting their operations. So think about, you know, external factors such as jobless rates or how the overall market is performing. If I'm able to aggregate all of that data, I'm going to help the company make better decisions in terms of which products it should put in place, which products it should not. To some areas, rethink the services it delivers to customers because of the situation brought about by the pandemic. But it's all about being able to predict or help the company predict where the future is heading and be able to anticipate and react to that in a much faster way. You know, it's no longer about looking at yesterday's report. It's about being able to predict tomorrow's outcome. And based on that, make critical decisions about the business. And machine learning can certainly help that because it is able to aggregate and look at data and establish patterns that to the human eye may be difficult to do.
And speaking of FAST, how does the cloud actually help mobilize FAST?
You know, it's an awesome question. You know, I'd say that the biggest benefit for the cloud in this situation is obviously to enable companies to stand up some solutions very fast. At Neoris, for instance, we were able to stand up a very complex platform that's able to aggregate data for our clients about their behavior, their employee base. And we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have a cloud platform in place that provides all the necessary infrastructure and services to be able to build up these applications fast, both on the front-end side, but also being able to connect and report the data that we collect at massive scale. So the cloud's ability to do that fast certainly is a benefit in this moment of time where we need to find creative ways to use the technology any which way we can to deliver some very disruptive solutions. Also, obviously companies that are in the food processing, the retail space, personal healthcare need to move products very fast. The most attractive channel for doing that, obviously, is through e-commerce. And you can only imagine the level of scaling that needs to be accomplished fairly fast to be able to deal with a demand in that channel that previously may not have been there. So the cloud also plays a critical role there to allow companies to, in some way, auto-scale their backends to be able to meet the demands that customers may have. I think also in the cloud, there are a number of other platforms that also allow for further enablement of a remote workforce management. Obviously, products like Teams and Slack and others allow companies to collaborate on projects in a much more dynamic way than we've done in the past. Those platforms run in the cloud, so being able to activate them and bring users together and create discussion channels and be able to share ideas fast and be able to keep each other updated, they provide this that capability. And the ability to turn those systems on through the cloud is obviously significant. And I would say that the last piece of the puzzle is obviously security, right? With the need to ingest and aggregate data at such scale comes also the responsibility in terms of how we manage that data. I think the cloud provides multiple infrastructure layers to allow companies to manage in security environment and services like single sign-on or multi-factor authentication, especially when accessing personal identifiable information. Those are capabilities that the cloud brings to at least provide a good level of security to protect this most critical data.
All this information and insight is certainly appreciated, and again, very timely today. We're joined by Mr. Tony DeLima, the global CTO of Neoris, Inc., that helps companies use the most advanced technologies to help them anticipate and predict their future here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EP and the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. DeLima, continuing on, how is technology enabling a continued work from home model?
Well, if everything that I mentioned before in terms of the collaboration platforms and tools, I think the technology certainly will enable companies and their employees to remain connected. I would tell you, though, that beyond just having the technology in place, it's also fostering this entire workforce work from home type of mentality, which is not easy. You have to be able to almost assume that you're in a physical world when in fact you're working through a virtual environment. So there are things from a culture management and change management perspective that companies should look into very, very closely in terms of how you foster that culture of working remotely. But certainly the technologies are there, everything around video conferencing or collaboration platforms to be able to either support customers and be able to diagnose situations and anticipate outcomes. Those platforms are in place. I think that more than a technology issue, it's now how do we help the core organization along to be able to work in a model that that will likely be around for a while until we get over this this entire coronavirus pandemic.
And speaking of health, and of course, our focus has been on the pandemic of the coronavirus, COVID-19. How is technology reshaping healthcare, and how will it reshape healthcare?
You know, we've looked at you know, what the changes are that we're able to uncover. You know, I would say that looking at a number of different studies, it shows clearly that the number of visits to virtual doctors has increased quite significantly. As a matter of fact, about, you know, some of the latest studies we've seen is about a 20-26% increase in terms of use of telemedicine and virtual doctors from prior to the pandemic outbreak. So that's an interesting factor. Telehealth continues to grow, even though I would say the adoption to some extent still remains low. I think here it's a change management, behavioral management issue as well, right? How do we make sure that that we truly leverage that platform, which is great, by the way, but again, how do you change your whole behavior towards that? The other part is around data again, right? If we're using telemedicine and we're using virtual doctors, everything around data privacy becomes even more of an issue, and companies, I think, are and institutions are wrestling with that to make sure that the healthcare community also, you know, gets more trust in the fact that, you know, if I'm talking to a doctor over internet connection, it's safe and secure, and the data that I share during that conversation is also being kept secure. I would say another angle which we see an increased growth in is around, you know, patient health tracking, or patient health track as we call it, and that's really the ability to say, okay, when a patient comes into the hospital and leaves, how do I build an ecosystem to stay very connected with that patient, where I can, you know, almost perform real-time tracking, and there's a number of capabilities out there around wearables, around heart rate monitoring, around fever tracking, and if I can push that ecosystem out to my patients, I'm able to track them more than ever in real time, and be able to again predict when they may have a complication, and be able to react to them faster. And I think that also is an area where you know, where we will see some growth. And then some of the other areas is around biomedical image analysis. We are seeing some technologies that are able to help the medical technicians to be able to diagnose COVID-19 very rapidly. As you know, it's quite difficult sometimes to distinguish between whether a person has pneumonia or whether they have infections because of COVID-19. Technology and complex image analysis is allowing those healthcare professionals to be able to conduct those types of diagnostics much faster and with far better precision today. So technology in the healthcare space as well, and those are just some of the examples, but certainly there are a lot more, is undergoing some significant change as well.
Also, if you would, what are the implications of data privacy like GDPR, CCPA during this pandemic that we're in right now?
Yeah, that's a tough topic that we wrestle with on a daily basis. You know, obviously, if you consider that data is the cornerstone to managing through this COVID-19 pandemic, in addition to all the precautions that we have to obviously take, such as social distancing and others, but if you look at data as a critical pillar of our survival through this pandemic, then the question is, you know, we need lots of it. We need lots of data that it's in many cases PII, or personal identifiable information, and if that's the case, you know, there are laws and restrictions both in Europe, California, and elsewhere, like you mentioned, GDPR, CCPA, and even HIPAA, that puts in place some pretty significant restrictions as to who can see data about the individual, especially data that may contain information about their state of health, right? And you know, what we do see is that, for instance, in Europe, there are some relaxing of the restrictions on being able to provide access to PII data, because we're dealing with a public health emergency, we're dealing with a pandemic, but at the same time, that does not take away the responsibility of companies that are aggregating this data to make sure that it's clear that that data is being used for the sole purpose of being able to anticipate and help the individual during these difficult times, and with the commitment that obviously when the pandemic is called off, at least the data that was collected during this period of time is deleted, and that the user obviously has the capability to and the ability to say I want my data deleted. So it's a tough balancing act to be able to meet GDPR and CCPA and also HIPAA requirements in terms of data protection. It's also making sure that we protect data both in flight as it travels through the internet, but also when it's at rest, to make sure that we have the right level of encryptions in place. But it's for sure a tricky balance when data is such a pivotal element of being able to navigate not just to this pandemic, but unfortunately there likely will be others in the future. And so I think that we will have long conversations after this pandemic is over of how we handle data.
Certainly fantastic and helpful information. And like I said earlier and several times, such timely information as well per your expertise on behalf of Neoris. Before you go, in one last question, how is this pandemic impacting how people connect and work?
You know, it's a question that I get asked often during these days as we flip from client conversation to other and to others. But and what I tell everyone is, at least from my perspective, I think the worst may be yet to come, but the best maybe also, right? And I think that this pandemic is forcing us to rethink relationships. At least I consider that. I think it's forcing us to recognize that as individuals we are at great risk, but if we bind together and work together and able to collaborate in these difficult situations and share data and help each other, I think that humanity has a better fighting chance. And hopefully, I think that one lesson learned from this pandemic is that, if we work together more closely and if we collaborate more closely across geographies, countries, worldwide, then I think we have a better fighting chance of making sure that that humanity is better prepared to deal with these types of pandemics. And again, unfortunately, we will likely see more of them, but in modern times, at least, the technologies that we have available to us, if we collaborate and, again, share data, it's back to data, if we can share valuable data across geographic boundaries, then I think we will be far better prepared as humanity as well. And then hopefully that trickles down and to how we work with each other as humans as well. So that's at least my hope for the best to come out of this pandemic situation that we are wrestling through.
Mr. DeLima, thank you so much for your time and for what you do in the space on behalf of Neoris. I'm sure listeners want to know how they can connect with you and get more information on Neoris. Where's the best place online to do so?
The best place is obviously our website, www.neoris.com. That's N-E-O-R-I-S. And if you want to learn more about how we're helping companies navigate this pandemic, you use the same URL, so www.neoris.com/health check. And then you'll be able to kind of read a little bit about how we're aggregating data globally, as well as data for our clients, and provide them some very sophisticated views around how they can manage the workforce and manage their operations, which is pretty interesting stuff. So I would welcome everyone to take a look at it.
And I'd say that's a great recommendation. Again, Mr. DeLima, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your audience for listening, and everyone stay safe, please.
And you too, stay safe out there. We've been speaking with Mr. Anthony DeLima, the global CTO of Neoris, Inc., that helps companies use the most advanced technologies to help them anticipate and predict their future. And again, for further details, visit Neoris.com. EPNnetwork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.